Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Thursday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a great show for you guys today. We continue our college football preview. Today we look at the Louisville Cardinals out of the ACC. They made it to the ACC title game last year. Can they build off of that this season? Mark Ennis is standing by to talk about the Cards here in a bit. We'll also get into the Denver Broncos. We wrap up our preview on the AFC West teams as we looked at the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the Chargers already. We'll have Lucy Burge join us later on in the show from Model Making Money. And then with the baseball season restarting tomorrow, thought it'd be a good time to look at the futures market, recap all six of the divisions, look at any value that we see on any of those divisions or maybe even pennant races that we will get into throughout the show, and then we'll give out our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts, concerns that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/OdysseySports, especially if there's something on Louisville, on the Denver Broncos, and obviously we've got the Open Championship as well. Anything that you might be sweating, let us know. And if you miss any part of the show, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing going. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Mark Ennis is joining us. Give him a follow on X at Mark Ennis, host of The Drive on 93.9 The Ville from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. And Mark, as you know, it was an awesome season for Louisville last year under Jeff Brohm. Just on a scale from like 1 to 10, with like 1 not being very surprised, 10 being extremely surprised. Last year's season scale 1 to 10, what was your surprise level for what they were able to do last season?
Yeah, I can't say I was terribly surprised. Like, they really were set up after spring with the combination of, I think, what he was able to do in the transfer portal his first year and the schedule. It really did set Louisville up to really not have to make like a quantum leap to be in contention to make it to Charlotte, which they ultimately did. It was a fortuitous combination of things kind of all coming together at the same time. But last year really was odd overall in that they went 10-2. They made it to the ACC championship game. So they kind of overachieved, but at the same time, it feels like it was kind of a bummer at the same time. Losing the rivalry game to Kentucky at the end of the year, losing the bowl game to, you know, USC's third-string quarterback. It was an odd combination of feeling like they did some really great things and like, man, they could have done even more. And you, depending on sort of the day and how you feel about it, last year was kind of it was thrilling to sort of reach and do some things you'd never done before, like make it to Charlotte, and then disappointing that you didn't beat Kentucky, that you didn't maybe take advantage of Florida State with their third string quarterback, that sort of thing. So an odd year, a little bit of both.
Yeah, it certainly was. And a lot of times, Mark, especially in college sports, when we see a team have kind of a surprising year one under a head coach, you can point to LSU a couple years ago under Brian Kelly. They made the SEC championship game and then have some regression. You tend to see that in year two. But Louisville, on paper, this team might be more talented than they were last year. You mentioned the schedule does get a little bit harder, though. So what do you think are the expectations for the Cardinals this year? Are people expecting there to be some regression, or do they think that, you know what, they made the ACC title game last year, they could do it again this season?
You know, I think they can make it back to Charlotte. The conference schedule, they don't play Florida State again. They don't play NC State again. They don't play Virginia Tech, who should be better this year, even though they handled Virginia Tech last year. The ACC schedule is probably going to come down a lot to how they do against Clemson and Miami. They didn't play Clemson last year. They beat Miami at Miami. That should be a whale of a game. This year, the schedule does get a little bit tougher. They go to Notre Dame this year. You're at Clemson this year. But it's not unmanageable. I think the fascinating thing for a lot of Louisville fans is like, will this team sort of look more like a Jeff Brohm team? You know, in an odd way, last year they really won, and I think Jeff gets a lot of credit for being willing to kind of play a certain way. But it wasn't what we thought a Jeff Brohm team would look like. They ran the ball. They played great defense, and they threw it kind of just enough. And I think he enjoyed winning, but I don't think he enjoyed how they did it at all. And I think they've done some things this offseason to try and be a little bit more aggressive and, I think, productive passing team than they were a year ago. I think that's maybe what people are as excited about as anything.
Yeah, Mark, you mentioned that schedule. Again, they're at Clemson, they're at Notre Dame, at Kentucky, and then they're home against Miami this year. So they do have some difficult road games. Is there a game that you look at? I'm sure you've talked on your show that you guys are already just counting as a loss. Like, you look at it and you're just like, that's really going to be a tough one to win this season.
You know, I don't think this is the nice thing about having Jeff Brohm as your coach. Like, he has a demonstrated long track record of any game that you might look at and be like, they have no chance. They won that game a lot at Purdue and even in year one here. But the biggest of them all, I think the bear is at Clemson. That is going to be extremely difficult. It always is. But Louisville, oddly enough, has had kind of a torturous history at Clemson. 2014, 2016, those games have come down to the wire. Of course, they've had several at home, too. But, like, that's the one I think is the biggest challenge of them all. And outside of ending the rivalry losing streak with Kentucky, nothing I think would mean more to people than winning at Clemson this year, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. That win total this year for Louisville, according to our friends at BetMGM, is sitting at 8 right now. As you mentioned, they were 10-2 last season. So with the harder schedule, expecting a little regression, 8 wins is what's expected for Louisville this year. Does that feel like the right number to you, or do you think that maybe they can go over that, win 9, potentially 10 games again, or maybe go under that this season?
Yeah, I think they can go over it. And I think basically what you're asking them to do is to go 1-3 against Miami, Clemson, Kentucky, and Notre Dame. And I think you'd like to think you could do that, but at the same time, you know, something that happened last year that is consistent with Jeff Brohm teams too, they played great against Notre Dame on a national TV audience, beat them, and then they go and lose at Pitt the next weekend. You know, and he's beaten top 5 teams multiple times in his career and lost the next game every single time. And so, you know, one goal I think this year, you can't identify which team it'll be, but the game after the big game, let's not give that one away this year. That's as I think as crucial to hitting over 8 wins as anything on this schedule, is just simply not give one away that you shouldn't. They had no business losing that Pitt game a year ago. Can you avoid the Pitt game this year?
Mark, how are you viewing the ACC when it comes to the college football playoff this season? Obviously, with what happened to Florida State last year with the conference realignment and Oregon and USC, Washington moving to the Big Ten, Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. Do you think teams in the ACC are coming into the season saying, we got to win our conference, we got to win the ACC or else we might not make the college football playoff? Do you think this is only going to be a one-bid league this year?
You know, I think it has the chance to be a more than one bid league, but because I think a lot of that is contingent on Miami kind of finally being Miami. I mean, it's crazy to think. Ask anyone. Like, you add Miami to the ACC, and we're going to be 2 decades into this, and they've made it to Charlotte one time.
Right.
I mean, Louisville's made it one time. Pitt's made it one time. Wake Forest has made it one time. Like, but nothing would help this league more in terms of national perception than Miami being a top 10 team on kind of a year-in, year-out basis, and they just haven't. I think last year, look, it doesn't guarantee there'll be a one-bid league forever, but you'd be a fool to think that you're going to get the benefit of the doubt, you know, because even if the league is demonstrably better this year, and there's a chance, there really is. I think any one of Louisville, NC State, Virginia Tech, Miami, along with Florida State, Clemson, could make a good enough league to get 2 teams in, but it's going to take more than 1 year, I think, to work on people's perceptions of the ACC more than anything else. And so this year, yeah, I would probably be telling my guys, we better win this thing or else I don't think we can guarantee ourselves a spot.
Yeah, I think the ACC and the Big 12 probably share those same sentiments as well. So Mark, before I let you go, your predictions on the season, how do you see it playing out for Louisville this year?
Yeah, I think they'll go 9-3. You know, I think they're... The step up in schedule probably just – look, they were very good in one-score games a year ago. And it's just the numbers alone tell you that you don't usually replicate that sort of thing. And if they're better than 9-3, it means some aspect of this team got dramatically better from a year ago. And, look, that's possible. But, am I going to put my money on it? No. I mean, the reality is what it is. They'll probably be a 9-3 team. I think they'll have a chance to make it to Charlotte at 9-3 because – say one of those losses is to Kentucky or to Notre Dame or both, then you've gone 7-1 in the ACC and you make it back. to Charlotte. So there are ways for them to, I think, sort of hit that 9-win total and make it to Charlotte without being a playoff team.
Year two under Jeff Brohm. Going to be exciting to see what the Cardinals can do for the upcoming season. He's Mark Ennis. Give him a follow on X at Mark Ennis, host of The Drive on 93.9 The Ville, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Mondays through Fridays. Mark, great meeting you, man. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy the season, and hopefully we catch you up during the season at some point again soon.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. Thanks.
All right, yep. Great stuff there. Mark Ennis continuing to talk Louisville Cardinals here on the show. Mark really hit the nail on the head. I mean, when it comes to Louisville, right off the gate, right off the bat, what jumps out to you about them is how much better their schedule, how much tougher their schedule is this year than it was last year. It feels like there's always that team every year in college football that makes it to their conference championship game, and you're just like, they really didn't play that great a schedule, and they just kind of made it to the conference championship game. Felt like that was Louisville last year. That won't be the case this year, as those road games, again, at Notre Dame, at Clemson, at Kentucky, which is a rivalry game, and then home against Miami, that's going to be key. Don't sleep on the SMU game either. SMU is going to be a good team. So, and then they got to travel all the way across the country and play at Stanford, who should be one of the worst teams in the ACC. But still, you got to get on a plane, travel across the country. That will be a tough game. So, interesting schedule for Louisville. As I mentioned, the win total is sitting at 8. I think the over is probably the play. For me, this is all about the number. If it was at 8.5, I wouldn't touch it. If anything, I would lean under. But getting that 8, I think the play is probably over, because I agree with Mark. I think in those four games, you're probably looking at Louisville going like 1-3. Probably worst case. I don't think they lose all four. So I think they win at least one of those games. And then the other games, I think they're probably going to lose one of those other games. Maybe it's the SMU game. Maybe it's a difficult road game at BC or something like that. But I think they probably lose one of the other games, win one of the four tough games that they have. I think they end up with 8 wins. Maybe they get you to 9. And the fact that it's a pick 'em, minus 110 each way to the over or under, I think over 8 there is probably the play looking at their win total. I think with Louisville, looking at the odds for them to win the ACC compared to them to make the college football playoff are very interesting. Because normally, you would think that the college football playoff odds, right, are going to be shorter, as they should, because certainly winning your division, only one team gets to do that, winning your conference, but making the college football playoff, the conversation we were having with Mark, multiple teams can make the college football playoff out of these big conferences. However, with Louisville, I think what's really interesting about them is those four marquee games that they have this year, two of the four games are out of conference, right? So the Notre Dame game and the Kentucky game are both out of conference, whereas Clemson and Miami, obviously both are in the ACC, and if they win one of those two games, that could be huge for tiebreakers. So normally, if you like a team, like if you're looking at these SEC teams, like an Ole Miss, a Missouri, a Tennessee, if you're looking at some of these Big Ten teams, like a Penn State and Iowa, some of those teams that you don't think are going to win the league, but you think by the end of the season could be like the 9th or 10th ranked team, I think the odds to make the college football playoff are very good. For Louisville, though, I would not make that bet. The only thing I would be interested in is for them to win the ACC, because, again, I don't think they're going to beat Notre Dame and Kentucky on the road this season. Maybe they win one of those games at most, but those losses would not affect them in conference play. So I think the much better bet with Louisville this season is to bet them to win the ACC at 6-1, because they avoid Florida State, they avoid NC State, don't have to play Virginia Tech, and they get Miami at home, and they have to play Clemson as well. So win total 8, probably lean the over there at minus 110, but don't bet Louisville to make the college football playoff at plus 500 because of the non-conference schedule with Notre Dame and Kentucky. Instead, if you were to make a futures bet on them, I think betting them to win the ACC at plus 600 would probably be the way to go with Louisville. All right, moving over now to the NFL. We're talking a little Denver Broncos here on the show. A lot of people have some interesting opinions on the Denver Broncos this year. I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's another team much like the Raiders. I don't know what to do. Chargers, that they were one of the strongest teams I have an opinion about this season. I obviously love them to miss the playoffs. The Chiefs, we know, are going to win the division. They're going to be one of the top three seeds in the AFC. Probably going to three-peat and win the Super Bowl again. The Raiders are kind of like, could be anywhere from a 5-win team to an 8-win team. Denver feels like the same way. Maybe they could be as bad as like a 3 or 4 win team. I mean, their quarterback room is abysmal. We were talking about the Raiders yesterday with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. That's at least better than what the Broncos are going to be trotting out there with Jared Stidham, Bo Nix, and Zach Wilson. So Sean Payton's still one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. I truly believe that. And if you look at how Denver's season went last year, right, they were historically bad on defense. The first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, we all remember the 70 points that they gave up to Miami. Russell Wilson obviously was not good for them last year. Still managed to go on a little bit of a winning streak, though. Got themselves an opportunity late in the season to potentially make it in to the playoffs. So the defense won't be as good probably as it was last year, but honestly, the drop-off in offense won't be as bad either. And like, we don't know how good Bo Nix is going to be. He's probably not going to start the season. Jared Stidham right now is listed as number one on the depth chart, but maybe they found something in Bo Nix. Maybe he turns out to have a really good rookie season. Right now, 5.5 wins is the win total for Denver. The over is +105. I mean, again, 5-12, like, there's not much room for error there if you're betting the under on Denver for the season. Like, I think it's very realistic for them to go 6-11, 7-10 this season. So I would probably lean the over, especially at plus money there with the Denver Broncos. Their offensive line is very solid. That's one of the strengths of their team. Javonte Williams is going to be back, should be healthy. He's a very good young running back. And look, at the end of the day, Mile High, Denver, that's still one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. And another thing, too, when we're looking at these teams with the Denver Broncos, right, where a lot of people, when they're looking at their schedule, they know they have to win that game against the Broncos. But playing the Broncos also could give us good opportunities, like we were talking about with the Raiders yesterday. When everybody talks about these bad teams, what I look at when I preview these bad teams are who are going to be the spots where they catch these teams sleeping. Because we know the old saying in the NFL, any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. The Broncos beat the Chiefs last year. They actually killed them in Denver last year. Mahomes had probably his worst game of the season. So Denver might win a couple games on their schedule this year that we're not expecting them to win. They still have a great home field advantage. And Sean Payton and Denver had every reason last year to try and tank and trying to be terrible, probably knowing all along that he was going to cut Russ and wasn't going to bring him back, and knowing the quarterback options that were available this year. They didn't decide to do that. They continued to try and improve and win games. So they're going to be motivated. I think they're going to win some games that we're not expecting them to win. And again, Bo Nix, we don't know how good or bad he's going to be. So a lot of people think Denver could be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. They certainly could be. But anytime you get a team that is going to try pretty hard and is going to sneak up on some people and has a very good coach to go along with that, I think that presents some value, especially when their win total is as low at 5.5. So I'll go over 5.5 wins for the Broncos at +105. All right, let's talk some baseball now as we dive into our glass ball here on Send It In. And of course, we got baseball starting tomorrow. We're on the All-Star break right now, so we'll get into Big League Peach tomorrow. Excited to have a full slate of baseball games back. We're actually going to give out a baseball play at the end of the show, already looking at tomorrow's lines. Thought it'd be a good opportunity, though, to look at all 6 divisions in Major League Baseball and also look at the AL and NL futures as well, and then give out our World Series, what we like as of today. We will start with the AL East as the odds for the Yankees and Orioles continue to flip-flop. Yankees right now are the small favorites at -115. The Orioles are +100. Red Sox are 16-1 to win the AL East. Red Sox very quietly are playing very good baseball. At the end of the day, I do think this still comes down to the Orioles and the Yankees. What's key that not a lot of people are talking about is the Orioles are in a great spot to get the tiebreaker over the Yankees. They play one more time this series of the season, a 3-game series, the second to last series in New York. If the Orioles just win one of those 3 games, they will have the tiebreaker of New York. No more game 163s anymore in Major League Baseball. So the fact that the Orioles have the inside track to that tiebreaker, that's a big deal. The fact they have the #1 farm system in baseball and can add pieces and go out and get anybody they want in baseball, that's a big part of this too. So I'll take the O's at +100. In the AL Central, I kind of like the Twins at +200. Minnesota is very interesting to me. They've been an up and down team all season. Their offense has very quietly been one of the top 5 or 6 in baseball. And their ace, Pablo Lopez, who we all thought was going to be incredible this season really hasn't pitched too well for him. So if Lopez picks it up and maybe Minnesota goes out at the trade deadline, adds a couple guys, Cleveland is 30-11 at home this season. They were 30-11 in the first half. I just don't think that is sustainable. Their starting pitching is a little shaky, their lineup as well. So I'll take a stab with the Twins at plus 200 to win that division. Favorite division bet is going to be the Houston Astros at plus 115 over the Seattle Mariners in the AL West. We've been talking about this one for the last couple weeks, maybe even a month, it feels like. But the Astros are coming, and it was only a matter of time before they were going to make their run on Seattle, a team that hasn't won the division in 24 years, hasn't won it since 2000. And then here are the Astros, who made it to the ALCS seven straight times. A lot of times, especially in professional sports, it all comes down to trust with me. And if I'm getting a team in the Astros, who arguably I trust more than any team in baseball, over the Mariners, a team that I trust as least as anybody in baseball, I'm going to take the Astros every single time. So I'll take Houston plus 115 to win that division. Phillies are minus 650 in the NL East, and for good reason. Yes, the Braves are talented. A lot of their hitters had some disappointing first halves of the season, but the difference is how good that pitching staff is for Philadelphia, and that over the course of a 162-game season is why they are going to stay on top in the NL East. The NL Central is very intriguing. Last year, the Cincinnati Reds were the team that everybody fell in love with Ellie De La Cruz after he got called up and the Reds started winning a ton of games. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be that team in the second half that everybody falls in love with because of the Paul Skeens factor, how good that starting pitching is, the fact they're only 6.5 games back, and the fact that they're 25-1 to win the division. I think a lot of people are going to like Pittsburgh, but I would go right back to the Reds because they showed us the ability last year that they could go on a run in the second half of the season. Pitching staff starting to get a little bit healthy. That lineup is still very young and can be very potent at times as well. And I like the price on Cincinnati. It's 16-1. They're 8.5 game. They're 8 games back right now, but I'd look at the Reds to potentially win that NL Central. And then in the NL West, we know it's going to be the Dodgers that win that division. As for my American League winner and National League winner as of right now, I'll go with the Astros at plus 700. I think the Yankees and the Orioles both have some big flaws. The Yankees, most notably, in their lineup outside of Judge and Soto, and then the Orioles and their pitching staff outside of Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, who is the starter that we can count on for Baltimore, and Craig Kimbrell, I do not trust him at all in big spots. I don't think the Orioles can win a World Series with Craig Kimbrell as their closer. So I'll go back to old reliable, the Houston Astros at plus 700, because we're getting 7-1 on the Astros to go to the World Series. And again, they've been to the ALCS seven straight years. Eventually, that streak is going to break. Don't know if it's going to be this year. I'll take the Astros, go to the World Series, and I'll take the Phillies as well at plus 210. I just don't understand why the Dodgers are favored ahead of the Phillies. I get the Dodgers have all that top-end talent. I know Mookie's hurt right now and Yamamoto's hurt. Man, the Phillies are good. I mean, in the NL All-Star game, 3 of the 4 infielders were Philadelphia guys. They had like 4 or 5 pitchers on the roster as well. They're just loaded everywhere. And they're a team that's really good in the postseason also. So I'll take the Phillies in the National League right now, plus 210. And the Phillies would be my pick as of today to win the World Series. Let's go to Model Making Money. Find out what Lucy Burge likes as the second half of the baseball season starts back up tomorrow. Lucy, no 5-star plays today for BetQL. I was wondering, did you have any best bets for today? Or are you saving everything for tomorrow?
Well, PJ, good afternoon. I do have a couple for tomorrow, if I might. Some Lucy QL 5-star plays. These are my personal 5-star plays. So they're both moneyline plays because they are, those odds are up now. Mets moneyline against the Marlins. That's at minus 130. The Marlins are 33-63 heading into the second half of the season, so they're not so great. And Sean Manaea will be starting for the Mets, and he faced the Marlins back in May when he got the win with 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts in 5 innings, and the Mets come into the second half above 500. The Marlins have been underdogs in 80 games this season. They've only won 29 of those, which is a rate of 36.2%. So I think the Mets have a really good chance on the money line. Then the Phillies tomorrow on the money line against the Pirates, minus 135. Aaron Nola will be starting for the Phillies. He's 11-4 with 9-8 and another 9 strikeouts in his last 3 starts. And the Pirates have only won 47.3% of games games in which they were the underdogs, and the Phillies have been favored 79 times. They won 53 of those games, which is a rate of 67.1%. So I like those two money line plays for tomorrow.
All right, very good, Lucy. I like it a lot. We were just talking about some of the division races in Major League Baseball. I like the Astros the best in the AL West to catch the Mariners. Is there a division bet that you like the best as we head into the second half of the season?
Yes, and it is on the Orioles. It is the Orioles to win the AL East. That is at plus money right now, plus 100. They were my pre-opening day World Series pick. So I think they'll have a big second half, win the division, definitely over the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees will really have what it takes to win the division. But one bet I also like for as a futures bet that does involve a division is the division of the World Series winning team to be the AL East. That is of plus 250 at BetMGM because either the Orioles win it or the Red Sox win it. So it's still the AL East. So AL East plus 250 to be the division winning team of the World Series is my favorite bet that involves a division for a future.
Lucy, could you imagine an Orioles Red Sox ALCS? I mean,
would I even be allowed on here?
I don't know. I don't know if you would be, if I'm going to be honest. We wouldn't be speaking for those 2 weeks if that happened. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd see me all fall, probably. Depends on who wins, too. Do I ever come back? That would be a really tough one, though, PJ. But, you know, it could happen.
It could. Honestly, Lucy, I hope it does. Because if it does, that means both of our teams made it to the ALCS, and that'd be awesome. So we'll be rooting for that for sure. We also got the trade deadline coming up here at the end of the month, Lucy. There's a lot of rumors out there. Is something going to happen with Garrett Crochet? Is something going to happen with Tarik Skubal? Maybe the Blue Jays trade Vladdy, potentially. Which team do you think is going to be most aggressive at the trade deadline?
Yes, well, I hope the Red Sox will be. They have to be. But I think the Yankees will be aggressive. They have lost 26 of their last 34 games. I think they will really go for it because they kind of have to, and they're aggressive, and they don't really they don't want to not have done anything at the trade deadline when they could add pieces. Aaron Judge even said, any help we can get would be nice. We have a good group, but any help we can get. So I think they will be the most aggressive, but the team I hope is the most aggressive is the Red Sox because their track record doesn't always scream, yeah, we're really aggressive at the trade deadline after they've said they will be. But I hope that they are the most aggressive and that they will be greedy, as Alex Cora said he hopes they are, and that this time they go full throttle because last time they did not.
Can't wait to see what happens. Lucy, before I let you go, as we head into the second half of the season, the Orioles were your preseason pick. Are you going to stick with that? What's your new World Series matchup here?
Yes. So reality-wise, yes, the Orioles, I would say matchup Orioles-Phillies. That's okay. Plus 1,000. You can bet on that. But, you know, in fantasy, a little bit of fantasy. It's less and less fantasy as the days go by. Red Sox-Phillies.
All right. I mean, hey, look, Fantasyland, Jaren Duran cashed your 45-1, right?
So, this is true.
Fantasyland's treating you pretty good, Lucy.
Reality.
A lot of great stuff. Make sure you guys check out Bet Slips and Bat Flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time. Lucy and Jake will be talking everything baseball, getting you ready for the second half of the season. Lucy, great stuff as always, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
I will talk to you soon, PJ. Go Orioles and Red Sox.
Go O's and Red Sox. Love it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and overs to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time for PJ's plays here to wrap the show. Real quick, an update. Right now, round one of the Open Championship, Shane Lowry is our new leader at 4-under par. Unfortunately, I got no stock invested in Shane Lowry, but he has won an Open before. He looks really good, so might be a guy that I dive into here over the next 3 days, potentially. Going streaking, obviously one more day that we're going to take that off because of no baseball. Our prop lock, there's really no props that we can look at today. I will say, though, there's a summer league game that if props do become available, look at the Kings and Wizards game. If you know, Alex Saar, the number 2 overall pick for the Wizards, went like 0-for-15 from the field. So I'm expecting him to bounce back a little bit here in this next game. So if you get some props potentially from Alex Saar, that'd be a guy I would target today in the prop lock. And I like the Wizards to win the game against the Kings as well. Dog of the day is going to be the Chicago Cubs plus 105 against the D-backs. Justin Steele's on the mound tomorrow as a home dog against Arizona. Yes, please. Cubbies are my dog of the day. Shawnee Sharp's going with the Orioles to win the AL East. Shawnee Sharp, shout out to you, my friend. And I'm going with the Astros to win the AL West at plus 100. you're giving me the Astros even money to beat the Mariners, and the Mariners are only up one game with like 80 games to go, I'll take that every single time. Give me the Astros as my best bet. Once again, favorite plays for today. Prop lock, I like the Wizards over the Kings, but keep an eye out if there are any Alex Saar props that pop up. I expect him to bounce back after his last performance. Cubs plus money tomorrow against the D-backs. That'll be my dog of the day. Shawnee Sharp likes the O's to win the AL East, and I like the Astros to win the AL West. Thanks again to Mark Ennis talking some Louisville and Lucy Burge as well. If you guys miss any part of the show, we got you covered. Go check out the Send It In podcast available wherever you guys get your podcast. Tomorrow we talk Iowa football. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.